Trade deadline is Thursday. A trade just happened. Chris Paddock going from the Twins to the Tigers for a minor leaguer. Let's talk trade deadline now as we head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Jim Duquette, former Orioles exec, part of MLB Network Radio, and part of our newest IA Hall of Fame class joins us now. Jim, thank you.
Congratulations,
it's your
sir.
First time joining the show as an IA Hall of Famer. Welcome to immortality. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Welcome to immortality. I think that's enough, isn't it?
That's
plenty right there. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to the gift basket that's coming, whatever that is.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll take you out to coal fire.
It's not much. It's not much.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It's more the just immortality thing. We're playing that card more than a gift card.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know. We should figure something out there.
Yeah.
We obviously are going to have trade deadline questions for you. But before we get there, I want your take on something at the macro level. You know, Mike Elias has gone to lengths to say that he's not going to trade from his core, which to me begs a question of what core? Like Gunnar Henderson, sure, certainly. Adley Rutschman, there's a body of work that says he's bad to mediocre as long as he was very good. You know, Colton Cowser, are we sure? Like Colton Cowser's an everyday player on a World Series contender. Like I'm not sure he can hit lefties or hit an off-speed pitch or hit a breaking ball or throw to the right base. Jordan Westberg, okay. Like he doesn't get on base nearly enough for me, but like, okay.
I like Westy.
I think Jackson Holliday's real. I think Grayson Rodriguez is damaged goods, and I have yet to see this team bring somebody back from a Tommy John in a forthright manner, and that's what they have to do with Bradish. So am I wrong to ask what core?
Well, I mean, no, I don't think you're wrong to ask it. I think, though, you know, I mean, going through those position players without going through a one-by-one, I think, you know, you really – it's hard to trade a couple of those guys on their down years, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you thought they weren't part of your core,
right,
you want to make sure you're trying to maintain their value as high as they can down the road. Now, I think they do feel that's their core. I think they're obviously hoping for rebound years. You bring up some really good points, like for Cowser as an example. I've had an issue with this, not just with the Orioles, but there are other teams that do this too, and they bring up a couple of their, let's say, left-handed hitters, and they don't have them hit against left-handed pitching. They put them in a platoon situation.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a Weaver era where we actually have platoons. Like, these guys should be, Cowser should be able to prove whether he's an everyday player or not. And when you're not playing him against left-handed pitching, how is he going to get better against left-handed pitching? Like, you know what I mean? And you can't send him to the minor leagues because there's no lefties like that in the minors. So there's just little examples like that that I would like to see in the last couple of months, getting more playing time, you know, and whatever that looks like. So we can get some answers, and so more importantly, they can get some answers the last couple of months for next year and beyond.
We're talking with Jim Duquette. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. So with the trade deadline 3 days away, how much different do you expect this Orioles roster to look come Thursday?
Well, I think with some of these guys that are on expiring contracts, I question what you can actually get for them. But I think that you have to move out a couple of those guys. You know, Dominguez as an example, Eflin if he's healthy, O'Hearn for sure. Like those three, just start there. Now, you know, I think it's fair to ask, you know, that what they can get back. You know, for me. Oh, Carlson. I would put Carlson in there, too. I know he's having a good year, but, I mean, if you can get something for Carlson that, you know, you can control for a few years, then absolutely. You should be able to find a Carlson, different guy, different name, but a similar type of player. So, you know, I think for me it's important that at least three of those four names I just mentioned are moved for talent, and, you know, we're not going to know what the policy is early for a when they come to the major league. But with Soto, as an example, the kid, Arcina, it's a really good arm. Yeah, he's had trouble with command, but that's gotten a little better this year from people that I talked to in the Mets organization. So, you know, if that's an indication, then you know, they should be absolutely aggressive in that area trying to find pitching. And, you know, he's a kid that won't be for 2 years. Least, but I think that's the type of deal that they got to be making with these guys.
What do you do with Trevor Rogers? Do you think they fixed him, or is it a ticking, potential ticking time bomb that you might have a chance to sell ridiculously high on, considering what these outings have looked like?
Yep. I mean, that is the great question with him, you know, because of what they have given up and what it's turned out to be. That in itself, it makes you want to hold on to him just because. The thing that I had not seen Rogers in a couple of years, mm-hmm. when he was pitching at his best, it looks similar to what we're seeing now.
Right.
So I'm encouraged that they've got him back to and recovered that, which would be a huge sign for them for next year. So my feeling on that would be I'd hold him because you got him under control, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's real.
Jim, who is the big prize? Like, who's the biggest name that you think gets dealt before the deadline?
Well, I think, if you look at Arizona with Suarez and Merrill Kelly, those are the two probably biggest names and best players.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Gallen would have been if he was having a better season. He's not really having a good season this year, right? So I think you start there. I think there's a couple of closures. The unfortunate thing with Bautista, they would have really, I think, had to think hard about trading him because Class A now coming off the board with this gambling issue. You've got guys like Duran, Helsley, Bednar. Bautista would have been the best of all that group, and there's like six teams that are all looking for a Bautista type of player, a pitcher for the back end of their bullpen. It's like Cubs, Phillies, Mariners, Mets, Yankees. Like, mm-hmm. Phillies, you could have gotten a really big haul, maybe almost what you could get for a starting pitcher because of the demand for that. So, Dominguez isn't going to get anywhere near that, unfortunately. But I think those are the names I mentioned. Class A, I thought for sure was going to be the biggest name. Now he's off the board, unfortunately.
Do the Yankees need to think about adding a bat, too, now with this Judge situation?
Boy, I tell you what, they added McMahon. I thought they won.
That's a glove more than a bat, isn't
it? Yeah. I thought they should have gotten Suarez. Yeah. They went McMahon. They went more the defender type. So, the one thing on Judge that it's kind of mixed right now is when is he going to be able to return? It sounds like he might be able to throw within a short period of time when he comes back. If that's the case, then they won't need an outfielder necessarily. But if he has to DH the rest of the season, I think they need an outfielder because none of the guys they have, like Stanton, you're not putting Stanton.
No, you can't do it.
Can't do it. So, I think he'll hit himself again. So, that to me is a huge, huge question mark when you're, going into the trade market on Thursday and you don't have an answer on your star player. Like I looked up these numbers. With the Yankees offense without Aaron Judge, the OPS is 50 points less. So Judge himself raises the entire team's OPS by 50 points. That's nuts. So, it's like sink or swim with him, hopefully when he comes back.
Jim, they'll never do it, but if he's out for, like, if they, and I guess the timing stinks for them, not that I care about them, but if Judge was out for a longer period, shouldn't they be thinking in the other way? Because he means, as you just said, he's everything to their offense.
Yeah. I think if they had gotten news that he needed Tommy John surgery, I think they would have seriously considered a somewhat of a sell. They don't necessarily sell all the time. Even when they're selling, they'll get rid of maybe a player or two. Like they haven't been in that situation very long. The last time I can remember was 2016, I think, when they got Gleyber Torres in a trade, like going way back. They traded Andrew Miller and I think they traded Chapman maybe that year. The Cubs and the Indians. So I don't think they've been in that situation since. And those were guys that were, going to be free agents at the end of the year. But I really think they would have, because, you have Cole out and then you have Judge out. I think they would have had to punt after that one.
Well, we know the O's are selling. We know the Rays at this point are selling. And we know the Yankees are buying. Do you think the Red Sox or Blue Jays make a significant buy side move to to improve their slot, or are the Red Sox going to sell a Duran or something like that?
You know, I think Toronto is, they're all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from to the extent that, you know, that they can, you know, they don't have a real strong farm system, but they, I mean, I remember when I talked to, we had over the GM talk that we've had over the last 2 weeks, they are the most aggressive. They haven't done anything, but they're the most aggressive right now in terms of making calls. Boston, you know, they're one, they're just so hard to predict sometimes. They they should be all in, but like you were talking about with Duran, like his name keeps coming up. I don't know why. There has to be something behind the scenes we're not aware of. I know they've got prospects there, you know, that can fill in that spot, but I don't get it. I didn't get the Devers trade either. So, you know, that one is going to be, I think that they're, you know, looking for starting pitching. That's what Craig Breslow told us 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes their ownership makes decisions that their GM doesn't have control over. So,
trade deadline is Thursday. Jim Duquette, MLB Network Radio, and Inside Access Hall of Famer. Jim, thank you as always
for your time.
You earned
immortality, boys.
HOF. Immortality. Every time you sign a check, you put that HOF
right
next to it.
Yes.
I will start to do that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Hammer.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we hit the hot corner, and John Schneider, he's the manager of the first place Toronto Blue Jays. He says he loves the way they're playing. You're going to hear
from... Oh, we got a lineup. Where's Adley batting tonight?
Yeah, and the Orioles lineup, yes. Adley's back.
I wonder.
We'll tell you next here on the Fan.
Cool. It's cool for tonight, for sure. And we got a lot of games left to play, but love the way we're playing. It's consistent every day. The guys have the same mentality every day. And, you know, it's another game tomorrow. Tomorrow's the most important game. So it's nice until about midnight tonight, and then you start getting ready for tomorrow.
So that's John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And there was a time where I think both of us thought John Schneider should have been fired.
Oh,
alas.
Several times.
Yes, they have the best record in the American League currently, sit 5.5 games up on the division despite their loss yesterday to the Detroit Tigers. So this team coming into town, we'll get to the Orioles lineup in a second, but the Blue Jays, they're playing really good baseball.
Most surprising team for the good, to the positive in baseball for me. I mean, you could look at the Cubs in the National League, and that might be the comp for them. But the Cubs added Tucker. You know what I mean? Like the Blue Jays, you know, they re-signed Vladdy, but it's not like they went out there and made all... Santander was never played for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't make power moves like that. It's really kind of the same team they've had that grossly underachieved. You know, that you know, Biggio, Bichette, Guerrero, all the, you know, dads played in the majors and were great players. That thing has yielded nothing.
And George Springer, who was a colossal disappointment in this year, looks like a player again.
Looked like he was damaged goods last year. So I give them all the credit in the world. I did not think they had 105 games or whatever it's been like this under in them. I still think the bullpen has some issues. But they're collectively hitting the ball. They're playing with a lot of emotion. They've been damn near impossible to beat at home. Obviously, this series, you know, for a dome team is going to be outside in the heat in Baltimore. So that might, you know, that might mitigate things a little bit. But this guy, how is this guy not manager of the year in the American League?
Should be.
And again, like, do I even think he's not? Am I still convinced that he's like a great man? No, I'm not. A lot of guys win that. It's a 1 year award. A lot of guys win that award and they're looking for work a year later.
Got an example here.
Yes. So I say that with all those caveats, but they are like, even yesterday, I mean, they battled back a little bit. Like they're it's really impressive how they're stringing together quality at bats. And we've known for a while now that they've got decent, you know, good starting pitching. So,
sneaky thing from yesterday, Jason.
It's amazing to me that they might win the American League.
They lost 10-4. What's lost in that is Max Scherzer might have had his best start in at least a calendar year. He went 7, only gave up 3 runs, and struck out 11 yesterday.
Now, it's against a Tigers team that can't hit the ball out of the infield right now. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they don't need him to be great. They just need him to be a serviceable middle of the rotation type starter, yeah. you know, throughout the duration. But what they do between now and Thursday, you know, could be critical. And again, Jim Duquette said he hears they're in on everything. Like they should be. If they add a couple of impact players, it could be a big deal for them.
Orioles lineup as they take on the Blue Jays tonight. First of four, playing them in 3 days. Split doubleheader tomorrow. Jackson Holliday leading off at second base. Jordan Westberg's your third baseman batting second. Gunnar Henderson's shortstop batting third. Adley's back, and he's catching and batting fourth. That's interesting. Ryan O'Hearn's your DH batting fifth. Ramon Laureano batting sixth in right field. Colton Cowser batting seventh in left field. Cedric Mullins, he's the center fielder batting eighth. And Kobe Mayo back in the lineup. He had a nice weekend. He's
snuck him in base. There in the nine hole.
Yeah, batting nine.
Snuck him in there. Wonder if it came down to him and old T.O.
Yeah.
Wonder how that one.
T.O. maybe he's got some soreness taking the night off.
Yeah, who knows. Look, this was an offense that we chronicled going into that series Friday against Colorado. We're averaging 3.4 runs for the month of July. That was second worst in the majors. Only Pittsburgh was worse. Now, they beat up on Colorado for a couple games, but that's not a major league team. So I'll be really interested to see. The whole band's back together now. The only guy missing is Sanchez,
yeah.
who's a part-time DH. He's
yeah.
not even a catcher.
No.
He's a right-handed
the
DH.
The core is
leftist.
Together,
this
Jason.
This is the whole,
the core.
The whole thing, man. So let's see what they can do against a good Toronto pitching staff.
Orioles and Blue Jays, 6:35 first pitch. BBT at 5:30. It's Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles. Coming up next, Bones should be back. We'll get a training camp recap. First day in pads for the Ravens. What did Bones see? He's going to tell us next here on TMI, here on the Fan. It's T-Bone time. He's back. He's full of sweat, and the floor is yours.
He's not as full of sweat as I thought he was going to be, to be honest with you.
I'm telling you, the shirt doesn't show the sweat. It was drenched, and like I said, my shorts, that's a whole different story.
Nice.
Biggest surprise of camp, they, talking about the Ravens, served Lido pizza. And there were wings.
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza, wings,
did
salad.
You get some?
I did beforehand. And there was no Jerry Coleman to start. So I was like, well, Jerry.
Still learning to count.
Jerry usually shows up a little into practice towards the pressers. Jerry did not show. So Jerry missed out.
Are we positive he's local? He could be in Florida.
No, I texted him. I texted him before I left. I was like, dude, you missed food. And he said, really?
Yeah.
And they didn't tip him off.
Chad didn't give him the heads up?
Chad, no one.
That's a breakdown. That's a breakdown in communication.
No
right
one
there.
In PR gave him a heads up because I was thinking he was going to take some pizzas home because there were still probably a couple full pizzas in there. So Jerry's probably kicking himself.
It's too hot for Jer. I think he probably
that's what
knew.
He said.
He probably knew that it actually wasn't 92 degrees today. It was hotter than that.
Yes. That's
somebody out there is propagating 92 degree myths.
Yeah. Feels like a hundy.
I'm not going to say who,
nah.
But it's a repeat offender.
It's a hundy.
Was that me?
No.
Oh.
You know who.
Oh, I know who. Yeah. Well, talking to some of the media members out there, they were saying it was the hottest day of camp. And you could tell it was a physical camp. The players wanted to be in pads.
Right when
I was walking out there, one of the coaches talking to some of the front seven members, like, you hit or you be hit. I'm like, damn straight. Let's set the tone.
Go Bone. And
well, I knew Bone was showing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Bone's not showing up for some glorified walkthrough.
No. Just a couple highlights. I'm sure you guys, we talked about it in my hit. Looper, not a strong day for him at all.
No, I got a bone to pick with you on Looper.
Why?
So was he 3-7 or 4-7?
4-7.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You said 3-7 in your previous report.
Oh, yes. I apologize.
It's okay. I defended you.
Yes, you did.
I said we're going with the book of the bone on this one.
No, it's
Gigi's out there in the Twitter streets saying everybody else is saying 4-7.
No.
I said we go with bone until bone says otherwise.
I have all three misses. It was a 38-yarder, a 44-yarder, and a 45-yarder that he missed. So he started 4-7.
And one was off an upright.
Yes, one was off an upright. And Hoyland, I believe, finished 4-for-4. Yes, he did. So something to monitor with the kicking competition.
Oh, it's being monitored.
And there was one, and Harbs was asked about it after practice, where one of Big Looper's kicks, it looked like the refs weren't on the same page.
One guy said good?
One guy said no good. The other guy just didn't signal. So someone asked Harbs if he got a view of it because Stout, he said good. And Harbs was like, hey, man, They said no good. We got to roll with no good. So Harb's the official. It's 5-for-8 for Big Looper today.
It's good to know how they handle the scoring.
Hoyland 4-for-4. Something that we heard Todd Monken talk over the weekend about, why can't we be an elite cadence team?
Mm-hmm.
And something that there was new this year, apparently they started doing it during OTAs, mini camp as well, are these cadence drills. So the defense, really everybody, the defense doesn't have their helmets on. Like, it's very snap, couple steps, and then it's dead, where they're just working on the cadence. And that was early on in practice, and they did that for a little bit. There were still two false starts in that practice alone. Couple of big hits. Well, Bo Braid had a nice hit on Keaton Mitchell, who caught a pass just in the flats. Braid read it perfectly. Cooper Rush kind of staring him down there. Braid ended up blowing him up. And Cooper Rush, it was an up-and-down day. I felt like he finished well, but the beginning of practice, just not on the same page with some guys, airmailing some guys. There was a situation where Carson Vinson and Adafe Owe, they were exchanging pleasantries at one point, and there was a big kind of surrounding, but didn't really go anywhere. It was not a brawl by any means, but kind of
Were you rooting for it to go somewhere, Bo? Were you looking to have some spicy fight stuff, fight play-by-play in your report?
Look, man, I was
in your little notebook? Were you hoping to write some of that down?
What did you think of my notebook?
It's tiny.
It's very small.
It is very small.
But you're one extreme or the other. It's either bigger than a backpack, or you could fit 30 of them in your pocket.
Yeah, for people that
it's
don't know.
It's a Post-it note. It's basically a Post-it note.
Last year, Bone had the giant marble notebook.
Yes.
So this year, he's
like
got...
Like a composition book when you're learning to write cursive.
This year, he's got one about the size of his palm.
Not even.
It could fit in my pocket, which is nice.
That's not the point. You carry your sock?
No, I was at the Commanders practice a couple years ago where there were some fights there, which that was kind of cool.
That real skinny guy got abused by the Ravens.
Forbes.
Yeah, Emmanuel Forbes.
I hear good things about him, by the way, with the Rams.
Really?
Nice. Zay Flowers had a field day that day. Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews were very active during practice. Andrews was probably the standout in terms of pass catcher. There was one occasion where he caught the deep post, ended up taking it 80 yards to make a point. Lamar.
Well, it's just his time of year.
Yeah.
Lamar is, I mean, it's not.
July is like the opposite of January. So
Not that it's surprising, but Lamar was really, really good. There was probably one pass that he missed that he threw behind Zay Flowers, but really on today, the connection with Hopkins was already there. I thought the defense was pretty aggressive during practice. There was a lot of blitzing. One occasion where Marlon Humphrey came free off the edge.
Oh, yeah?
And he hit Derrick Henry.
Lamar That's my guy. Henry. Marlon, 6-plus sacks.
Yeah, I guess.
Any Mike Green there, Bob?
Mike Green, he did get one would-be sack, but it was during one of those all-out blitzes. He wasn't blocked. It was kind of a free run.
That's a mistake, Bone.
He did have a really good rep during one-on-ones. Brody, dude, there was a nice stretch where Brody, like three straight plays, kind of blew it up. I thought Brody had a strong day.
Treating guys like parked cars.
lead piping it.
Yeah. Malachi Starks, he was very talkative in the back end. And that was something that Zay Flowers was asked about going up against this defense year over year. Mm-hmm. And he made a point to say the defense a lot more physical and communicative. Communicative. Yeah, it's an interesting word there. Yes. Called Jair Alexander the most confident DB that he's ever gone up against.
Well, and so this is a nothing burger, this swelling of the knee. For a guy who's missed this much time, they're saying it's nothing to see here. Coming off an off day, nothing to see.
That's how it was presented by John Harbaugh. Harb seemed like he was in a good mood. Said Rashad Bateman was just sent home because he was sick.
Yeah.
But Harb said nothing to see here. Coming off the off day,
I will let you know tomorrow when I'm out there.
If he's not practicing tomorrow.
Yeah, it's...
Was it Woozie out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there.
Side field on Saturday.
Ajabo wreaking havoc?
No, that's a good question.
Jabo had one situation. He had a nice rep on a one-on-one.
Okay, we'll take that at this point.
Yeah.
call that a win, but at this
there's
point.
There's my report.
Well done,
it's a great report.
That's very well done. Before we step out, we do have some Orioles breaking news. Tony Manzolino says Felix Batista is going to be out a while. Weeks, not days. MRI showed a lot of swelling in Batista's right shoulder. No exact diagnosis quite yet.
Yeah, how about just shutting him down?
Yeah, it's probably going to be what happens, yeah. Yeah.
Any trades?
Nobody traded?
I was about to say, any trades?
Not yet. Just the bad news. No good news. Well, not the trades are good news, but I guess this year they are. Hey, coming up next.
Kobe Mayo in the lineup tonight, Bone.
Adley
batting cleanup. Would you expect anything else?
Nice. Right back.
Yeah, he spent 30 seconds in Norfolk. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
30 seconds in Norfolk. That's a film. Yeah, he because he's been so good this year, the batting cleanup. Anyway, coming up next, one of the big stories for this offseason is the Ravens special teams. Obviously, kicking gets all the headlines, but what about this special teams? Time for some necessary roughness. We'll hear from special teams coordinator Chris Horton. That's next here on The Fan.
You know, the kicks have been made, right? I think, you know, with Tyler, the thing we understand is when we brought him in and we looked at him, the dude has a strong leg, right? And he's technically, he's sound, he kicks the ball the way we want to kick the ball, and he's been consistent, right? And that's what we're looking for. John, when you look at him, he's been consistent, and when you watch him over his college career, he was consistent. He made kicks, and that was the kind of guy that we went out and said, okay, let's bring in two guys that, you know what, they're consistent in what they do. One might look more powerful than the other one, but the kicks are going in, and that's ultimately what matters the most.
It's Chris Horton, special teams coordinator on Saturday, talking about Tyler Loop, who
got to harness that power.
Yeah.
You got to harness it.
Did you notice, Bone? He's got the ball explodes off his leg. Everything's like near the top of the net.
Gigi said he could stand with his back to the play and know which one was kicking just from the sound.
The whoosh.
Wow.
I did not say that, but
you inferred it.
Yeah.
You highly inferred it.
The ball explodes off his leg.
Ken's right, though. It's right at the top of the goalpost every time.
Yeah. He did not have a great day today, though.
Do you get an extra point for that? I know, like, in the CFL, you get points
you don't.
Like, when you catch a missed field goal. Do you get an extra point if you clear the uprights, Bone?
I think the extra point is a rouge, and you get
There's more than one way to get a rouge.
Oh, really?
Now.
You guys are gamblers.
They've expanded the rouge market.
Nice.
How else can you get a rouge?
There's, like, two different ways now. It's screwy.
Well, let's keep our eye on the ball. What level of concern, or how concerned are you about this as we are now one day through padded practice?
I was concerned with that Edmonton-Saskatchewan game. It was 1-1. When that game was 1-1, 10 minutes in, I was concerned. And I had right to be concerned. What was your question?
The concern level for the kicking game.
Looper.
It's a problem until proven otherwise. It's not a position of strength on a roster that is loaded with positions of strength.
With a Super Bowl or bust roster.
It's a huge question mark. Am I panicking at this point? And I just saw his worst day. It's still so early. It's July 28th. I'd like to see him in a game setting preseason. And if he starts missing three kicks in the game, then...
We talked about this before practice today, right? And we were like, it's good that it started this way and not the other way. And the more perfect days he strings together, the better it's going to be for him. Yeah. But I just said there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, and this is not going to be linear, and there's going to be some bumps in the road. And then literally an hour later, he's missing 30-yard kicks. So, like, all this is to be expected, but it is... recently uncharted territory for this franchise. It's terrain they have not had to try to navigate for the better part of 15 years. And obviously one guy to the eye test looks different than the other. But if the other one's making them, even if they don't look so aesthetically pleasing and they don't sound as great on the boom mic, that guy's going to win the job. Until he loses it to a veteran, if that's what they think they have to do.
Sure. But I think I would have been concerned or at least waiting to see the real thing, even if this guy was perfect throughout the preseason. Because when things get real and it's Sunday Night Football Week 1 in Buffalo, and it's a must-have kick.
Carrie Underwood singing.
Yeah, it's a lot different than the Ravens playing the Colts next week in front of 40,000 people.
For clarification purposes, he went 4-for-7 today, hit the upright from 43, missed from 38, missed from 45. He did hit from 44, 33, 33, 47.
Bone was there to write it all down in the world's tiniest notebook.
He can't read it because that notebook's so damn small.
I do have to flip a lot. There's a lot of
pages of flipping
because it can only hold so much.
You got like three lines.
He can't get a normal adult notebook. It is, and to some degree, it's the most meaningless thing in the world.
It's funny.
On the flip side, it kind of tells you everything you need to know about the Bones.
Yeah.
It really, it's a little bit of a portal. It's Jason, a little bit of a portal in the Bone.
So some people listening might not get this, but as a former beat guy, you'd get it. Could you imagine him transcribing in that notebook during a press conference? Like, he'd go through the whole notebook. One guy.
Yeah, it's good that Bone's out there in small doses.
First of all,
for Looper alone, because you're already bad karma for the Looper.
Yes, I almost went through like half of it.
That's the great thing about it. It's awesome. Not only is it super tiny, it has like 16 and a half pages. So it's not even if you're going front and back, there's no volume there, Bone.
I have ripped out some pages. I would
advise against
that. I'd save every page.
Yeah.
Well, no. From old times.
Old times?
How long you been writing?
Is that from high school?
No, not.
That's his Men in Motion class?
I think I went out there once before, maybe.
Last year?
Yeah. It might have been towards the end of the year, maybe playoffs when I was out there.
The first thing I think about when you're covering a practice for us is I wonder what notebook. I wonder how large or how tiny that notebook is.
Well, I think I got one more practice in this. At that point, I'd have to give in and get an
a big boy.
One.
Get a big boy notebook.
Yeah, like, I think at that point,
go on Amazon and buy a notebook for 30 cents.
Yes.
Coming up next. Orioles and Blue Jays, they start a four-game series tonight at Camden Yards. By the way, BBT live from Pickles, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken at 5:30. Jacob Calvin Meyer, he covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He's an IA Hall of Famer, and he joins us next.